Hello, everyone, and welcome to Inside the Studio on iHeartRadio. My name is Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. Today we're talking to a bona fide pop queen, or a pop prodigy to be more precise. She's been at this since the rest of her peers were in grade school. She was 10 when she won a TV talent contest in her native Sweden. In 2017, she released her first international album, So Good, which set the European charts on fire with her electrifying electro dance floor fillers like Never Forget You and Lush Life. Over the last year, she's dropped bangers like Love Me Land, Wow, and her latest, Talk About Love, which features Young Thug. Now she's gearing up to release an all-new full-length, Poster Girl, which she promises will be, to use her words, like ABBA on acid. If you're missing the club and looking to throw a little living room dance party, it sounds like this is the album for you. I'm so happy to welcome the poster girl for Swedish pop perfection, Zara Larsson.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Well, first up, you have a new song, Talk About Love, with Young Thug. I love it so much because it's about that really exciting time in a relationship when you're still trying to figure out what you are, like if this is for real, if this is going places. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been there.
Scary.
You know, where you start seeing someone and you're like, do I want to move forward with this? Do I want this to be a serious thing, or am I just kind of having fun with it? I am very bad personally at like casual dating. I kind of instantly just have to like ask myself, what do I want from this? And if it's not someone that I really want to be with, then yeah, bye. Like, what's the reason? What are you going to give me? You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely about that sweet spot before you like start asking yourself all these questions.
It's just the first rush of love and affection. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
But then it's scary. Then it's like trying to figure out what it is. That's the scary part.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, again, I am like, I see a person once and I'm like, yeah, we're getting married, right? And they're like,
you're naming
whoa.
The kids. You're already
so
off.
Really, it's funny when you know talk about songwriting and when it comes to the point where it's like, well, how much of it is real or like how much can I relate to it? And I think for me personally, I've always thought that as long as you can relate to the emotions and the feelings of a song, then you can talk about basically anything. It doesn't have to be like, for me at least, it doesn't have to be a page ripped out of my diary for me to relate to it on an emotional level. Because now when I listen to the song, it's like, I personally want to talk about love all the time. Like, I'm probably the person who was like, should we talk about this? You know? But I also understand, and I have been in a situation where it's like, oh, I know. But that's the thing is, usually when you don't want to talk about love, it's because really it's not that serious, you know? I don't really want it.
And you know the answer.
Yeah, sorry. Shh. It's just not. Yeah. But it's a super fun song. I love the Young Thugs on it. I think he did an amazing job. He really brought something to it. Not that anything was really missing, but he added something that I felt that I didn't know I was missing until I heard his verse. I always wanted to have someone like since the first time I heard it, I knew that this was a duet for me.
I mean, I think he's such a cool artist because I really admire the way he challenges like the traditional ideas of masculinity and rap with his style choices, like wearing a dress on his album cover. What was he like to work with? Like, how did he enter the mix?
So because of this weird pandemic and like the weird, not weird pandemic, but definitely like a weird year, 2020. And what's even the word to describe the pandemic?
The world's upside down. Yeah, I mean, everything is just totally unprecedented.
Yeah, we couldn't see each other in the studio. So I think he recorded it in Atlanta. I recorded it actually like a year ago. Maybe more in LA. And, you know, we talked. We've been texting each other or like DMing and stuff. And like, he seems very sweet. I was super happy he wanted to join me on the song. But we haven't actually like spent time in the studio. I was watching the live link, you know, seeing him record his version or his part of the video. But same thing, I was like, hey, you know, on a screen, and we haven't met each other. And that's so strange. I mean, It's not really only because of the pandemic, though. I think this is how music is made for a lot of people. Like, I remember doing the Euro Cup song. It's like in Europe, we have this huge, it's like the Super Bowl, you know, but it's soccer. And me and David Guetta did a song, and we didn't meet each other up until the actual opening ceremony. And then I was like, hi, you know, it was weird, but we had this huge song together, but we just never like spoke before that moment. But it's fun, you know, that it works out that way. Just send the files over the cloud or whatever, and then you get it back, and then you like send your stuff, and yeah. It works. Technology,
that's
man.
That's so funny. It's like the band The Postal Service. Like, that's how they got their name. Yes. It's like they just sent their stuff back and forth. It's so interesting. I mean, just think about the way that your working methods have evolved and your songwriting's evolved. I mean, Talk About Love is the single off your new LP, Poster Girl, which is due out in the spring. How has your songwriting evolved since So Good? You would have been, what, 19 or 20 when that album came out.
Yeah.
Like, how has your writing progressed since then?
Well, I first have to say, I actually wasn't a part of creating Talk About Love, but I have worked with Amy Allen and Mike Sabbath was like the two big people on that record. And I have worked with both of them before, and I think they are amazing. And that's usually what it's like for me if I don't write the song. It usually ends up being a song from writers that I love to work with or that I respect a lot. And they're like, they know what I want, and it kind of all makes sense, even though I wasn't like in the room. But when it comes to my writing, I think the biggest thing for me is the confidence, really, because it's so hard. I think that really comes back to all the creative stuff where you have to share your art. It doesn't matter if it's a painting or if it's a dance or if it's a song or just like a text, you know, you're writing a book. When you share a piece of yourself or you share your thoughts on something, you're very vulnerable. And sometimes I've been in the studio, especially when I was younger and a bit more insecure, and you know, I had this line in my head for the next sentence of the verse or whatever, and I was just thinking about it, and I was like, oh no, it's stupid, oh it's stupid, oh no, I can't say it out loud. And then someone would say like the exact same thing, you know, like a minute after, and everybody's like, that's great. I'll be like, oh, why don't I just say it? Like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I just express my feelings? Because what's the worst thing that's going to happen? People saying like, yeah, that's good, but I think we can find something better. That's like literally the worst thing that could happen, which sometimes could, you know, feel like, oh gosh, I'm a failure, which isn't I don't think, you know, that's not the truth. But now I can be a little bit more confident and just share my thoughts in a different way. And I think that have just been giving people a more open and honest version of me, you know, and a bit more personal. Because sometimes, yeah, with creative things, it's like, it's not only you write a song. Sometimes it like turns into a therapy session and you start talking about like, especially love, like relationships and what you've been through. And like, you realize stuff now that, you know, like, oh gosh, I can't believe I went through that. Like, oh, what he did to me, or like, how was I reacting that way? Like all of these things, you really have to, you don't have to, but usually it ends up being brought up because it's like a natural way of talking about things when you share stuff about yourself. So I guess I've just been, yeah, again, just more comfortable and confident. And I think that makes a huge difference.
You said that the sound of this new album is, and I love this so much, ABBA on Acid, which is an album I desperately need right now. Please elaborate on that, because that's something I really need in my life right now.
Yeah, I think I've always grown up with ABBA being a Swedish. You know, we had some huge pop makers, not only performers, but like writers and producers. But ABBA has always been, you know, they've always been around for as long as I can remember. And they probably had their biggest, they were like huge before I was born. But it's just lately that I've realized, hello, excuse me, they make the best songs ever.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're timeless. They are so good still to this day. They will be good in 100 years. And I just never really appreciated them like fully up until recently, where I really, you know, sat down and I was like, I'm gonna listen to ABBA. Their melodies, the sound, what? Everything, it's blowing me away. And I just wanted to like be a little bit inspired by that, especially the melodies they use. And like harmonies, or how they build up to a chorus, and then just, I don't know, just everything about it. But then I also wanted it to be a little, you know, probably
with a twist.
Yeah, I guess you could say modern, but in a way, ABBA's so timeless, but a bit more me, and like a little trippy and fun still.
I want to ask you a question. It's going to sound like I'm kidding, but I'm actually kind of serious. Why are people from Sweden so good at pop music? I mean, there's you, there's ABBA, there's Shellback, there's Max Martin, there's the Cardigans, there's Ace of Base, yes. There's Avicii. I mean, there's just so many. Like, what is it? Is something in the water?
I don't know. I think it's definitely like a legacy at this point, you know? And yeah. I do think it's been like a privilege for me to go to LA, for example, right? Where it's just like the holy mecca of songwriting and entertainment. And a lot of the people there are Swedish. And even if they're not, people respect me in a different way when I say, hey, I'm Swedish and I like do pop music. They're like, ooh, you know? Because we have this whole culture of songwriting. I don't really know where it started. You know, there's a whole bunch of theories about it. One that I really like is that everybody has to play music in school. It's like,
oh, wow,
a subject, like PE or math or English. Like everybody has to take at least, you know, learn a few chords on the piano and the guitar. Not maybe write a whole song, but, you know, they have to try out a few instruments and they have to try it, basically. And also the fact that we have a different support system than a lot of different countries. So you could actually get funded from the government, or not a scholarship, but like a, you know, when they give you money for things like arts and stuff.
Yeah, like a grant or something.
Yeah, it's very easy to get. And that means that people could actually dare to dream about having a life in music without being scared of, you know, am I gonna like be able to have food this month, or am I going to be able to like pay my rent and stuff like that? And they could truly just go to school for music or play in a band and like tour and stuff. I don't know. I think it gives you a little, when you have a financial freedom, it gives you a sense of security, and then you can truly focus on what you love and what you're passionate about.
I've read that you've been, since being, because you're in Sweden right now with your family during all of this, that you've been learning more about home recording software like Logic and stuff like that. How's that going?
It's hard. Yeah. It's so hard. And only because there's like a million, probably more, a million different things to do. You know, I always open a session. What I love to do, this is in like life generally, what I love to do is I love to start things. I don't really like to finish them. So I have so many sessions that I'm like, yeah, this is a vibe. And then I start something. And then, you know, instead of like finishing it, I'm very good at going into the library, yada, yada, finding a new sound. I'm like, No, we're starting over. We're doing this, because this sounds really fun. And for me, this whole pandemic, it's been really fun to just play around with. I've also realized that recording myself isn't as hard as I thought it would be. It's definitely hard to, you know, I'm not a mixer. I can't make everything sound perfect. But just to put down an idea is powerful, because it means that I feel independent, and I can, you know, I always write with other people, usually, you know, if I'm in a session. But if I could learn this just to the point where I could put down some ideas and then just send it over to someone who could clean it up, then I think that's great. And also, it's so fun to sit around and play with. Like, it makes me really happy.
Would you consider yourself a perfectionist?
Oh my gosh, yes. And I think that it's the worst, because sometimes my will to want everything to be perfect, it kind of stops me from doing things sometimes, because I'm like, well, you know, I'm also that type of person who I want to be excellent at things like immediately, you know, the whole process of it, which is the beauty of it. I don't like it. Like,
that's how you learn.
I want to be good at it right now. And I think that's why singing has been such a passion of mine, too, because it's something I do naturally, always been doing. You just open your mouth and it comes out sounds. But when it comes to like learning an instrument, learning how to produce, learning even to write songs, really, you have to put down and you have to put in the time for it. And that's why I respect, like, especially producers, because all of these producers, they're just nerds. They're just people who they really are. Like, they're cool, but they're very nerdy. I love nerds. When someone has a specific subject that they're just so passionate about, and they sit with it, and they perfect it, and they perfect it, and they perfect it. And then, you know, there's no ceiling to this. And also, things change how we want things to sound in music. Just, you know, listen to the songs from 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, or like what was popping on the Hot 100. It's different from what it looks like now. So it's always evolving. But yeah, being a perfectionist, I feel like can sometimes just be a bit overwhelming, you know, because I want everything to be perfect at once. And that's literally impossible.
You mentioned singing. That was something that's been with you from a very early age. I mean, you were on the Swedish equivalent of Sweden's Got Talent at, what, 9, 10 years old. Was there a moment you knew that music was your path in life?
I actually don't have that memory. I've just always, it's been a part of my DNA for as long as I can remember. And I think I have always loved, my personality type is very much, you know, I love to be the center of attention. I love to entertain. I'm definitely like a people pleaser. I want everybody to have like a really good time. If they're not having a good time, then I feel like everything reflects back to me and like that I'm a bad person. So that combined with having a good voice is like, great. You want to please people, you want to entertain people, and you can sing sick. That's like an artist's soul. I have just always had that dream of mine. I don't know where it comes from. My family is so not musical. My dad played in a punk band when he was like 14, 15, and that's as close as we're getting to any like musicality in my family. But me and my sister, we've always just loved it. Yeah, it's really strange, but it feels like it's almost destiny in a way. I don't really know if I believe in that, but it feels like I couldn't do anything else in life.
I mean, just talking about, you know, bringing joy to people, the music that you've released in 2020, I mean, Love Me Land, Wow, Talk About Love, it's been such a great escape from just this really upsetting, unsettling time. What do you do when you want to escape? What's your favorite way to just get away mentally?
That's so funny you say that, because I have, that's what I've been doing. Like, pop for me has been a form of escapism for me. So really, if I'm being honest, I think of myself probably more as a performer than a writer. So I really love to write, but I'm not the girl who is sitting in her bed, like writing songs. I am the girl who stands in front of the mirror with like my high heels on, my hair done, and I'm like, are you ready? You know, like, let me hear you sing. And like, going off in the mirror. Like, I love to perform. So growing up, and even now, every day I stand in my living room and I dance and I pretend that I'm on stage performing in front of people. And that's how I kind of escape reality. The boredom of it sometimes, the, you know, when it's gray, when I'm anxious, or even just expressing my happiness. That's just been a go-to for as long as I can remember. That's really like my true essence. Just like, okay, it's performing time, and I just get into it.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but I have to. I love, love, love your version of My Heart Will Go On from when you were like 10 years old, I think. I mean, I'm a huge Titanic nerd. Like, I've been obsessed with that since, like, I was a kid. So, like, I love your version of
it's
that.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, were you, like, really into the movie as a kid?
Yes. Actually, no. I don't think I was very into movies as a kid. But now, I don't know if it's because I watched so many movies and series this year, particularly or last year, because, you know, you didn't have that much to do. I started to really get into, like, directing. Just being, like, very, you know, okay, I wouldn't go that far. I would be interested in directing, or like I would be aware of in movies where it's like, oh, that's a really, really great shot. Or like, I love how they were trucking her movement and then cut to that scene. And like, oh, I see the plots in a different way. And like, just the storytelling of someone on a screen. I'm very into that. And I think specifically in these times, everything's very, very visual too. You know, you just don't want a great song. You also want like a great video with it, and you want the pictures, and you want the GIFs, and you want the TikToks. And, you know, we're looking at our screens a lot. And with that, I think most people want like some form of content with it. So I think it's if I would get into that, I would love, you know, I co-directed my music video for Talk About Love. And probably gonna co-direct the next video. And then maybe eventually, you know, when I learn all about the lenses and yada yada, I will start doing that too. And that gives me joy, like for real. Just being a part of, I feel like if I'm not writing the song in itself, which I preferably would love to do, you know, but I've never been proud to say like, oh, I didn't write this song, so I won't take it, or like, well, I can take it if I can rewrite it or something like that. I think if it's a great song, then it's a great song. And I, you know, some of my biggest songs in my career have been like Lush Life and Symphony that I didn't write, but then also equally the songs that I did write, like Never Forget You. And it's just, to me, I just want really good songs, and I love to be a part of making them. But if I can't be a part of creating them, I would love to be a part of everything else around it. So I feel like it's mine. This is like my vision for it, my sound sonically. I sing it, you know, of course, how I want the songs to be sung. But also, it just feels better when you know in your heart that you made this into what it is.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, I can imagine making an album is a very similar to directing a movie. I mean, you're creating a mood, you're
totally,
the peaks and valleys, some bangers and then some ballads, and then working
yes,
that all out. I mean, I wanted to ask, I mean, it seems like that there's definitely, from the songs that I've heard from this album so far, I mean, Love Me Land, Talk About Love, wow, there seems to be a theme of love in this album. Is that fair to say? Always.
Always, yeah. I think that's what I mostly write about. I think it's because I am obsessed with love. I really am. I think like that's the reason we're all alive, to feel love and to be loved. And it's the most beautiful feeling, but also it's very relatable in any aspect. You know, you could be in love and be really sad about it because the person's not loving you back, or you can be really happy or very, like, very attracted to someone. I like to sing about that. Honestly, my, you know, it's hard to do a really good song and to make it really, really happy and about just, like, I love you so much without being super cheesy. You can, but for me, it's a little tricky. But I do love to write about that, like, initial, like, attraction you have with someone. Or, yeah, just everything about love. I think it's fun. It's fun to write about. And I think people can relate to that quite easily, no matter. And again, coming back to, maybe they haven't been in like that exact situation, but everybody can relate to the emotion and the feeling of it. And at least for me, you know, when I listen to songs, I sometimes want to feel like I am heard or understood. I think that's why we listen to sad songs when we're sad.
Yeah, it makes you feel less alone.
Yeah, you feel like, oh, you feel me? Yeah, yeah, okay, I'm not alone. Yeah.
during the lockdown, my girlfriend and I have been watching a lot of old, catching up on all old like 90s rom-coms, like Sliding Doors. And stuff like that. Do you have any favorite rom-coms?
Rom-coms. That's when they laugh in between, right? Or what categorizes a rom-com?
Yeah, or any romantic.
Romantic comedy.
Usually, I'm thinking like Julia Roberts, like My Best Friend's Wedding.
Wait, why did I think about those, like Friends? That's not a rom-com.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, like I'm thinking about like Runaway Bride, My Best Friend's Wedding, Sliding Doors. I'm trying to think of like what else.
I love, what is that? The Christmas movie?
Oh, with?
With Keira Knightley and
Love
like
Actually.
Jude Law and... You Love Actually. I love The Holiday.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic, too.
That's a classic. I do love that because that's like zero anxiety. But you know what I mean? It's just like, it just feels good watching. Yeah. But I love the dramas where it's like, oh, gosh, I can't look. Like, oh, no. Oh, no. Why is this happening? Like, the things that stress me out. Maybe that's why when I'm, you know, listening to music, I mostly just want people to feel really happy because I don't know, I'm quite an anxious person. And when I do listen to just like music and specifically, that's like my escapism away from like all the drama and that. But it's so nice sometimes, you're right, to just watch something that makes you feel cozy. And yeah, also things you've watched like a million times because it feels familiar and nice, you know, like The Office.
It's like that's everybody's favorite. I always have it on the background. Yeah,
I know. It's so weird, isn't it? Everybody's favorite.
I mean, it's sort of, I mean, watching those, you know, romantic comedies and that just sort of exhilaration and joy is what, you know, you feel when you listen to a great banger, like one of your songs. I mean, is there a feeling that you get when you know that you've just written a great banger? Is there like a personal litmus test for you where you think, okay, this is going to get people going.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's how I felt when I was writing. The last song I did for this album was Love Me Land. And I did that with Jason Gill, who did Funeral on So Good. And Julia Michaels and Justin Tranter. Like, the best songwriters in the world. So, for me, working with them, first of all, was such a huge honor. I love them both, not only as writers, but as people. They're just really, really, really great people. And I knew it was going to be a great song. But then when we played it for the last time, you know, before you go home, you've bounced it, you're ready to like listen to it in the car on the way home. I felt so proud and so happy of that song. And that you can't take away that feeling. Because being a pop girl and being in, you know, the mainstream eye, like, I want to have my songs being played on the radio. And I, you know, think it's super important. And it makes me really happy when I have the radio support or, like, playlisting and all of that. Like, I do want my streaming numbers. And I do want to be on the chart. And I'm lying if I'm saying I don't want that. But something about, I don't know, it, when you feel really proud of something and when you've been a part of it and you like put down your vocals and like your input into something, then, or like even the video, like I was so proud of that video because finally people saw me dance and just everything around it. I thought I was gonna go home and I was like, this is a number one. Like, obviously this is gonna reach number one on all the charts. And then it so far from did that. But I wasn't sad. I thought I was gonna be really sad about it, but I just didn't care as much as I thought I would be. I was like, that's a shame that people won't get to hear how good it is, more than like I am a failure, you know? Because sometimes you do end up in those cycles where like, oh, my value as an artist or like how good I am is tied to numbers. And like, that's not the truth, though. And I think I kind of woke up from that, especially after doing so well. You know, I was like, it just can't be what I'm about only. But I was so proud of that song. And I just felt like, oh, this is it. And even if it turned out that it wasn't, like, for the general public or whatever, I was really, really proud. I really was.
You got it out of you. You did it.
Yeah, I did. I loved it.
Your new album's called Poster Girl. If you were the poster girl for one thing, what would it be?
mm. Ooh, if I was a poster girl for one thing, it would be, I would love to be like, I don't want to say, for having really good songs. I would say, you know, of course I want that, but I feel like that's obvious. I would love to be a poster girl for supporting girls. I would love to do more of that in my songs, write more about that. Because I'm definitely a huge feminist and I think about feminism and like equality a lot. Many, many minutes every day, many hours even. Like I consume a lot of information. I care about it a lot. And I used to have a blog where I wrote about that all the time as well. And maybe I want that to reflect more in my music in the future, maybe. But I hope that people who do follow me and who listens to my music, they know where I stand on questions when it comes to equal rights and feminism and LGBTQ and, you know, all of that. But I would love to be a bit more.
You see that on your social media
so
much.
I think also my generation is like very involved in a lot of things. Probably because we have the internet and there's so much information available. And I feel like my generation is also very open and supportive of like differences. But it's definitely, it's a little, you know, I am also very happy that I was born in Sweden where we are quite equal. Quite, I'm saying, because we're not fully there, but definitely compared to other countries, we have an advantage being a woman here. But I would just...
an awesome answer.
I'd love to be poster girl for that.
My last question, I don't want to take up too much more of your time.
Yeah.
If you could snap your fingers and have coronavirus go away, just go exactly back to the way it was in 2019, whatever your definition of normal is, I guess, what would be the first thing that you would do? Trips you'd want to take, things you want to do, people you would want to hug?
Ooh, I think I would honestly get my butt on a plane to LA very fast. I'm very excited for that. It's been really strange not traveling this year. Good for the environment, though, but I am so used to being in different hotel rooms and like different places like every week or every 2 weeks that now when I've been here, I remember spending my first month like at home in my apartment. I was like, I have to move. I'm so tired of this place. I have to move right now. And now I can't lie. I've been having a really good time with my family and my friends staying at home. I still want to move, but I would probably take a quick flight to LA and I would go to a festival.
Yeah.
I love festivals. I love going to festivals. I love performing at festivals. It's just such a fun thing that people like spend a weekend together and they just listen to music and they like party and stand. I don't even remember that feeling of being like in a crowded place. Sometimes I watch movies and I'm like, it's very crowded here. No one's wearing a mask. Like, it's in me now, you know? But I can't wait to go to festivals.
That is an awesome answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
for this
so
chat.
Much
I talked a
time.
Lot. You asked like 3 questions and I was just like, blah, 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 blah.
Your answers were incredible. Oh my God, it was such a pleasure talking to you.
It was really good to be
on
here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio or other fantastic shows, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.